It's a pleasure to be here. And part of the journey, there are a couple strands here that come together for me. On our walks, Dorothy and my, when we walk together in our neighborhood, there is a Jewish cemetery, an old Jewish cemetery. We've never seen any new bodies buried there, but there's an old cemetery next to another. There are several cemeteries, three in a row, about a mile from our house, so just up the street. And and there's also a Jewish former cemetery. I don't quite understand the plaque, but it's in Shaco Bottom as well, just further into town. And you walk on, I think it's on Grace Street, Grace. And there's a little courtyard that has a plaque that says this was a Jewish cemetery. So I haven't looked at the stories there. But if you visit Europe, you're aware that there were Jewish communities all over Europe. There are, you know, prior to the Hitler's events and so forth, the Jews were all over the place, and they tended to be in enclaves, either by force or by choice. And I say that just as a precursor to this little story, because in verse 9, it's just interesting, and I want to pause and reread this beginning with verse 5. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. What does that mean to you? Growing up, I interpreted that as meaning that people had immigrated from other parts of the world and were living there in Jerusalem. That seems rational to me to believe that. But it really struck me first there a couple years ago, being there on the Greek coast and thinking, you know, Paul, in visiting Corinth and in visiting Athens, was in this area and coming around and going up to the islands here. And, you know, Turkey is not so far there. And Paul would have come from Tarsus, that's over here. And just thinking about that, I really was forced to think a lot about how much a part of the biblical story migration of peoples, immigration, it's all part of one soup. And when we read this story here, it's not really, once he explains it there in verse 8, and how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, etc.? Can you put up that map, please? There's a little map here, and take a look at that map. Now, this is the nations that are mentioned there in that verse. And so those are the red. So Asia at that time, that's up towards Turkey and so forth, and Greece is there and Italy, but it's resonating out of Jerusalem, Judea. And then Arabs are mentioned, Syrian, Crete, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Cappadocia, Mesopotamia. All of these languages, nations are mentioned there. And the way this map sets this out, what does it point to anything for you? Does it bring to mind any words? It moves out from Jerusalem and Judea to the ends of the earth. Now, the thing that's interesting to me in this story, and it's sort of this, there's a tension here, because it's talking about the Jewish community in what's called the diaspora. Can you bring up that slide for a minute? And the diaspora means scattered abroad. The Jews who lived outside the land of Palestine after the Babylonian exile. So 586 years before Christ. These people, some fled, some immigrated, some were taken as slaves, but they were dispersed because they were now a captive nation. You know, when we read the story of in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is talking about some saying, I follow Peter, others saying, I follow Apollos, others saying, I follow Paul, others saying, I follow Jesus. And you look at the conflict in Corinthians, it's between Greek Christians and Jewish Christians. And so the diaspora and the early church were all mixed up together. So these people who left with the Babylonian exile, they lived there from 500. Now, they didn't all stay in one place or anything. They were in all these different regions. They were living there and contributing. And Paul came from where? Paul of Tarsus. So Paul's origins were within this diaspora. So go back to that other slide. So there, right near where it says Pamphylia, that's where Paul was from. But it's like the families grew up there. They were there in exile. They settled there, and they made their regions prosper. Well, that comes from the prophets. And the thing is, though, that the exile, forced exile by Babylon, is also a source of great richness in throughout the Old Testament. This is sounding disconnected, but I'm going to bring it all together here. So where do the songs come from? Babylon? By the waters of Babylon. We lay down and wept. So what it's saying is that we were cast out like this. We were taken away. We were enslaved, taken from our homeland, and we looked back, but we had to relearn to sing the Lord's song in this land of captivity. What's that? There you go. There you go. It was going through my head too. There you go. Anyway, the point of it is that when I, growing up, I read this story, and it was sort of, for me, it was the beginnings of you know, talk about speaking in tongues, glossolalia, and all of this business where, and there was this talk about the need for interpretation and all, and is it spiritually necessary to speak in tongues and so forth? Well, that conversation started early in Scripture. But the fact of the matter is that what's taking place in this little story is that these were all, there were Jews in Jerusalem who part of their family and part of their history had been in all of these other regions around the Mediterranean. So they had left, but many had stayed. Some had come back to Jerusalem, but not all. And they maintained a connection in both places. So when we hear this story, what's taking place is they hear each of us in our own native language. When you really look at the story itself and you look at the historical sweep and you bring into it this whole movement of peoples and exile and diaspora and so forth, you realize, no, this was an ongoing historical movement of people and information and practices that sort of went back and forth around the Mediterranean. And so there's a third slide there, if you could please pull that one up. And that one's on Pentecost. And there are just a number of different strands with the story of Pentecost. But when it comes to the New Testament, it takes on a new shape with this event, because it takes a festival that was current within broader Judaism, that had celebrated the first fruits and so forth, and traces its origins back to the giving of the law and Mount Sinai and so on in Leviticus and Genesis and so forth. So they took a tradition that was longstanding, that was one where people traditionally gathered there in Jerusalem. And here in this particular instance, this particular time, it was Jews from Jerusalem that came from all of these different areas. And the new thing is that the Spirit of God spoke to them in their own languages. It wasn't new for them to be gathering each year. It wasn't new for them to be rubbing shoulders all the time. When you look at it, in that earlier slide on diaspora, it said that these Jews from the diaspora had a great influence on the Jewish faith, ranging from the translation of the Hebrew Bible into Greek, the Septuagint, to the formulation of the Babylonian Talmud. So in other words, part of the movement away from Hebrew being the only language, a sacred language, you know, if you look at Islam, Islam still holds the Quran and Arab as the only language. You're not even supposed to translate it at all. But it's translated, of course. But it's held, and you're supposed to learn the Quran in Arab. Well, God was diversifying Jewish and Christian faith from the very beginning. And rather than making it fixed geographically, they had to learn to sing God's song in exile. But exile wasn't a fixed thing. It was a movement back and forth. So if I jump to the title, the place that came from is for me, I was just thinking about how amazing it is that God's expression of divine perfection is. It's not expressed in exclusion. It's not expressed in a single language. It's not expressed and a single ethnicity. No, it's expressed in the embrace of all of this and recognizing that the more tongues that are speaking God's praise, the closer we are to what God's calling us to. Tongues as in languages. So God's completion is not expressed through a, one of my, this is part of my argument against Zionism as a national religion or a national expression. And these Zionistic Christians here in the state, who in many places, who want to make it as if Zion is the only place to be. They want to make Christian faith not diverse. No, that's against, it's first of all, you could never do it because God will blow it in your face and send fire. This is supposed to look like fire. I didn't want to look like I did a good job. Anyway, the point of it is that God, what burned here? What burned? Well, part of what this is sort of part of the burning down of a monolinguistic kind of Zionism and an absolute affirmation that God's completion is realized through this impulse back and forth between expansion out and returning home. Expansion out and returning home. So anyway, that's the one piece. So the reason people were in exile was because of a hostile takeover. So we've been the colonizers here in this country, and eventually we came to say that we were colonized. The immigrants here turned and eventually said, no, we are now nationals, and you, Britain's the colonizer. And so there was a little flip there in self-understanding. But the fact of the matter is we don't see ourselves as colonizers in a true sense of the word. And we don't see ourselves either as the colonized. And so we're in this strange place in a lot of ways, in my way of thinking. But what I want to say here, I've said more than I wanted, and so I want to just bring this back to a close. Just as last Sunday, or a few Sundays ago, Mother's Day, I talked about God's forming us, Adam and Eve, and so forth, and in the likeness and image of God. Our likeness and image of God is expressed in both male and female. And in our church, in the life of the church, in the history of Judaism, even so forth, there's been this impulse towards diversity. All along, God used the exile to expand the diversity. God uses the Pentecost to give that a whole new language and form. And God continues to use our immigration and immigration in ways that diversify the church and fuel its richness. So rather than viewing immigration as the enemy and immigrants, what's worse is viewing immigrants as the enemy, I feel like we're very wrong headed right now in this country, because God is for cultural diversity. That's just a fact. And we either embrace the diversity or we lose to God. And whether it takes 500 years, what does that matter to God? Hear this story, it's 600 years it took to take place. So why are we in such a hurry? We are moving, we're going to have a song and then move into the celebration of communion, which once again is a celebration of God bringing us together from our different paths, from our different journeys. And we break bread together and we celebrate our unity in Christ Jesus.